Sweet as.
We on?
We on. Welcome back, guys.
Hi. I've got a bit of chili on my lips right now. I've just had my lunch, so I apologise if I sound a bit different.
How do you still eating his lunch, actually? So
I'm actually still eating my lunch.
That's all right.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about mindset and headspace today.
Mindset and headspace.
Which,
even though running is a very physical thing.
Yeah. What is? It is, but it's also very, very much a mental thing, I think.
Yeah, totally. I think you can look at this in regards to the longer you run, the harder it is mentally. But also even getting out and just going for a little jog around the block sometimes can be quite hard to do.
Like every good ultra, running has ups and downs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, even a 5K race running, you can have some ups and downs.
Yeah.
And that would just get exaggerated the further the distance becomes, I suppose. I've never done a marathon and felt great the whole time. You always get to a point where you're like, oh, this sucks, or oh, I'm tired, or how am I going to get up that hill? And, distance kind of amplifies all of that.
Absolutely. And sometimes you can even get into a bit of a slump with your overall running, where you just lose motivation and are a bit like, oh, why am I even running?
Yep.
And you sort of stop enjoying it.
Yeah. So I think in training, you're always going to have peaks and troughs, and there's always going to be ups and downs. And if you're fairly serious about your running, you almost plan for these peaks and troughs. You'll plan to, you know, I've got a marathon in August, so I'm going to try and peak and really ramp my running up, ramp it up over late July and try and peak in August. And almost planning to have a trough after that, whether that's like a mental trough, a physical trough, or just knowing that you might be a bit tired overall. So it's impossible to be always good as a runner. You can't always be up. You can't always be at your best. You can't always be in form.
And that's mental and physical.
Yeah, 100%.
Sometimes you can't plan for your trough, where it's just you mentally exhausted or physically exhausted, and it's just not you at that point in time.
I think if most of your life is in order, you can almost plan to peak and then have a bit of a rest. That's why you like intentionally have a bit of a rest every now and then, whether you train up for a big race and then, cool, I'm just going to like go real easy the next 2 to 3 weeks. That can be a good refresher. Sometimes you don't plan your troughs and all of a sudden you just find yourself in a slump, right?
Yeah, you're just like, poor. I think I'm there at the moment a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
I've got UTA coming up, just had 6 foot, and I'm a bit like, oh, it's all
too
hard.
Right now, how long have you been in this slump for?
Leading up to 6 foot even, I think, where I've gone, cool, I'm running, I'm doing 6 foot, but not loving it. Like, I loved 6 foot. I love the race because, like, I struggled because I was undercooked. But I feel like I was undercooked, a bit of Achilles niggles for the last year.
Yeah.
I couldn't train where I wanted to train, and I think maybe that set me into that sort of downward, it's hard.
So because you weren't physically at your best.
Yeah.
That led to you, I guess, losing the love for it a bit, or?
Losing the love a bit, and then like, setting those goals, going, oh, I'd like to do this and this and this and this.
And then realizing you're not going to hit
those
goals.
And realizing you're not hit, then you're like, oh.
So what did you do? Like, if that was your headspace, or that is your headspace, like, how are you managing that?
It's hard. Because, like, 6 foot, I was like, sweet, I'm just going to do it, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
And did 6 foot, struggle through it. Luckily, Lucy was there to get me to the end.
Yeah, she held your hand at the finish line, didn't she?
Oh, yeah. it ended up being an amazing weekend. And then afterwards, I was still like, oh, fuck. No. The next race.
Yeah.
And that motivation to get out there and do it a long distance, I'm like, do I really want to do this?
Yeah. It's fun. I think a lot of us have experienced that. I've experienced that where you finish an event that you've trained up for and you're so pumped up, you're so motivated, and that catapults you on to the next event.
Yeah.
I've also had events where I've just suffered and I've said, nah, like that's it. I'm done for a while.
I think that's me at the moment where I'm not, you know, you're going to suffer.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. You know that. If you're in the right headspace, you look forward to that suffering in a sadistic, weird kind of way.
Yeah.
When I'm like, oh, I don't think I want to suffer.
So we've both got UTA in
7 weeks.
Under 7 weeks. And
at time of recording.
At time of recording. So probably 5 weeks.
Five or 6 weeks by the time it goes out,
I have to run 100Ks, and that I know it's going to hurt. Like, something's going to hurt. Either, like, my my like mental energy is going to hurt, or my knees are going to hurt, or something's going to hurt. Like, it's 100 kilos isn't easy, but like, I'm so amped up about it.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't wait to rip into the next 6 weeks of training and really work hard for it. Whereas you're also doing UTA, but
I'm doing the 50, and on the flip side of that, I'm just...
You're not stoked.
I'm not stoked for it.
Yeah.
And it's a weird feeling.
Yeah.
Because it's not that I don't love running. Because I love running.
And UTA, this is the stuff that you froth.
Yeah, this is the stuff I'm like, oh, how good's this?
Mm.
Because it's all the runners together. I've already there with the same sort of mindset, the same feeling.
Mm.
And I'm just like, oh.
And it's trail.
It's trail.
Mm.
I love it.
Mm.
But then I'm not loving it at the moment. So it's that sort of balance.
Yeah. So having, like, I suppose a slump or a trough can be physical or mental or both.
Mm.
And I guess your physical Achilles niggle is kind of impacted the mental side.
Exactly, sure. Yeah.
So I think when we look at, let's just say, distance running as a sport or as an activity.
What like, and distance running is anything from...
More than a 20-minute run.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Distance running is a huge stress on the body. It's a huge stress on you as a human. We have physical stress, and then we got to think about all the other stresses as a human: financial stress, emotional stress, mental stress. What's going on at home? What's going on at work? Is your dog sick? Is your auntie in hospital? Like, are you waiting on the results of a scan?
Yep. Yeah. You name it.
There's so many stresses. Struggling to sell your house.
Yeah. Is your wife pregnant? And are you preparing for that? Or are you getting married? And have you got stuff on your mind there?
Are you English and trying to get out of the European Union? Like,
yeah.
See, like, yeah.
What's happening with Brexit?
We joke, but we're also not joking. Like, these are all stressors that add to your entire stress as a being. So we use the bucket analogy. Like, how full or empty is your bucket? So your bucket will be filled up with stresses. Like, if you do a 40K training run, that's a big amount of stress in your bucket. If you're struggling with money, that's more stress in your bucket. You know, if family life isn't good or mental health isn't great, that's all stress in your bucket. And you've got to have a way to empty your bucket as well.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, a sunrise run along the beach is emptying my bucket. For me, like a sleep-in as well.
Oh, yeah, sleep-in or can be a big one.
Getting a massage for me.
Yeah. Like,
whatever you need to do to kind of empty your bucket and balance out those stresses. So running is such a big stress on your body. And if you have other stresses going on in your life, then you cannot expect that your running performance will be amazing. And you might feel a bit crappy in your running. You might be like, why am I struggling to run 5K around the block? Like, I'm not injured. I just can't run 5K around the block. Well, you got to look at what else is happening around
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I've had days in the past where I've gone for a 20K run and 3Ks in, I had to sit down and gone, poor.
Yeah.
Today's not a good day.
Yeah.
And nothing was wrong. Just today was just a bad day, and other things were going on in my life, and I just ran home and was like, nah.
Yeah.
Not happening.
Yeah.
Where other days I've gone for a 5K run and felt amazing.
Yeah.
And end up doing 20 or 25.
Yeah. I had a run once where I knew the sun was going to set in like 30 to 45 minutes. And I was like, oh, I'll just quickly, you know, go for a, 30 minute run. I had a new pair of shoes. I'll test them out. Just go for a quick run. And it was one of those ones. I just felt good. And I was like, oh, in my head, I was like, oh, I know I can go over that bridge and around that river. And that'll add an extra sort of 20, 25 minutes on. So I did that. And it was getting dark. And I was like, I just feel so good. Like, I'm skipping along. I'm full of energy. And then that 10K in my head, I was like, oh, I can actually run around that patch of water. That'll add another 7Ks. I'll do that, and then I'll see where I go. And I kept doing that. Got to the point where I was at about 30K. I'm like, oh, I know I can run straight home from here, or I can do like a 12-kilometer loop to get back home. I'm like, I'm going to make it a marathon. So I had a run where I was like, I'll just go for a 30-minute jog. Turned into a marathon. That was like the best I've ever felt. Mind you, I was pretty sore for a few days because shitty load management.
Maybe this is not advice. This is just Paddy doing some dumb shit because it felt good.
Oh, we know runners are dumb, and this is me being a dumb runner.
Oh, yeah, basically.
I was sore for a few days, but, you know, just nothing went wrong.
Yeah, and like, with all the stress in your life, running can definitely help with that.
Oh, yeah.
You can just go for a run and go, sweet, I just need to get out of work, run, do a 30-minute run and be fresh and go home, or...
Yeah.
Start your day to sort of reset.
Yeah, so you can use running to fill your bucket. You can use running to empty your bucket.
Yeah, exactly.
So I went for a very long training run yesterday, and that certainly filled my bucket up. Like, I'm sore today, and I'm tired. Getting out of bed this morning was hard. I'm just sore.
Yeah.
But you can use running to empty your bucket. I know like a 30-minute jog along the beach will
Like, I paced
my
training, Canterbury training group on Sunday around a race, a 12K race.
Yeah.
And that emptied my bucket.
Felt great.
Yeah. Felt great because I was not paying time to any times or it didn't matter how fast I was going. I was just there with other people and getting them through a race.
The love of the run, yeah.
And just the feeling of the run and going, sweet, we're doing a race, cool.
Yeah.
And that was really nice. That was definitely emptying my bucket.
I think one thing we need to talk about if we're talking about motivation or headspace or slumps is overtraining syndrome.
Yeah, absolutely.
So overtraining syndrome, that's when you're, you know, you're increasing your load, you're training longer, you're training harder. And usually with that, you get inadequate rest or like shorter recovery between sessions. Mm-hmm. So you're training more, you're training harder, and you're probably not recovering as much. And that
or as well.
That can actually decrease your performance. So overtraining syndrome, I've experienced it myself. It's a funny place to be in. Side note, I'm someone who's generally against supplements and nutritional things. Like, I just eat healthy. Like, that's how I do it. I eat healthy. I don't buy pills and powders and tablets and stuff. I'm just not into that. But I had overtraining syndrome once, and I saw these like capsules you could get from Endura, just like a normal sports brand, and it was literally called like overtraining syndrome pills or something like
that.
And it was just like a little capsule full of like fucking herbs and shit. I don't know. But like I had overtraining syndrome and I was so desperate. It's like, get out of it. I'm like, cool, I'll buy pills. Like, and that'll help me. And it's a funny place to be in. So when we talk about overtraining syndrome, it's when you're just overall tired, fatigued, like your legs are sore, you're just not running as fast. You might be a bit moody and grumpy. And you just kind of lose the enthusiasm for running. Like, it's a shitty place to be in.
Like, the big thing there is that definitely increases your risk of injury as well.
Yes.
Because you're running on tired legs, your recovery has decreased.
Yeah.
You're not feeling as well, you're not feeling the love, but you're still doing the training. So that really increases that risk of injury. And it's a dangerous place to be from an injury perspective.
It is. And usually you're trying to increase your load as this is happening.
Yeah.
You're also, your immune system also takes a bit of a hit. So, you know, it's when you might pick up a cold for no particular reason. It's because you're just overtraining and your body's a bit overloaded. I think it's important to, like, acknowledge that overtraining syndrome exists and to recognize the signs of it. And, you know, what's the solution? Just pull back your load. Take a rest.
Yeah.
It might be 2 days off. It might be 2 weeks off and kind of really pull it back a little bit. That will be very, very different for everyone and your symptoms and what you're feeling and what you're training for and how long you've got to go.
And like, you'll always, I think most people feel a bit like this towards like the end of a marathon training program.
Yeah.
Like when the low, everything is high, they're doing their longest distances.
Yeah.
You'll feel tired, you'll feel sore. It's not exactly the same as overtraining syndrome, but you know you've got a massive taper coming up towards your race, and that will generally help all those feelings.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly the same, but there are some similar.
It's kind of like a step before overtraining syndrome.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what do you do for overtraining syndrome? I think you pull it back, rest a little bit. And you said earlier, before we started recording this, to not try and compete when you've got overtraining syndrome.
Yeah.
You're not going to perform well. Yeah. Like, try and get a PB when you run down.
Yeah, and even competing with yourself, you're not going to get there.
Yeah.
And then because it affects your physical and mental states, you need to look at your goals as well.
Yeah.
If you're in that position, or even if you're in that slump and not really have overtraining syndrome, it can either help or hinder you.
Mm.
Your goal can be, sweet, I'm going to get out for 2 runs this week.
Yeah.
That, perfect, great goal.
And instead of running 5-minute pace, I might run 5:30 pace and be happy about it.
And be happy about it. And my goal is to do 2 runs, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Or you can go, cool, I want to get a 10K PB on this course next week.
Yeah.
That will hinder you because you will not get there because you're overtraining.
Yeah. And then if you set that goal, you don't reach that goal and you're already in a bad space.
They'll put you into a worse space. Yeah.
Dig upwards, not down.
Yeah.
So maybe not if you're at the point where you have overtraining syndrome, but if you're just a bit slumpy, like if you're just a bit off it.
Yeah.
A few things you can do. just like, I think in general, mix it up. So run with other people. So if you're normally a solo runner, you know, just join a group, go find a social group and run with them. That'll just spice it up a little bit.
Yeah, I'll find different. A few mates and go, yeah. Cool, let's go for a run.
Yeah, someone you know is slower than you. Send them a text and say, what are you doing tomorrow morning? Let's just go for a jog.
Yeah.
And that can be good. Or if you always run in a group, just do your own thing. Like run off by yourself. And that's more the case for me. I always run with people. I reckon probably 2/3 of my runs are with other people. So when I'm just feeling like I want to do my own thing, I just run by myself.
Mm.
And usually it's at sunrise. So if I catch the sunrise running by myself, phew, that mental clarity you get is just incredible.
How good. I think a big one for me, like with where I am at the moment, is I just need to run for running. Not for performance.
Yeah.
And just enjoy running for the sake of running. Yeah. Don't bring my watch. And just do a lap around the bay.
And you've always said that. You just like to run.
Yeah.
You're not the most competitive person out there.
I don't really care.
Yeah.
I love races because of, you know, the environment and this, the atmosphere and the people and all my mates are there. But if it takes me an hour longer than planned, I'll be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's value for money, right?
Yeah, more time on course for same money.
Yeah, perfect. So I just need to run for the sake of running and just have fun with it.
Yeah.
More than going, oh, I need to do this, and this.
Yeah. What if you get into a slump mid-race? Because that happens too.
Oh,
micro slump.
Micro slump, hating yourself, going, what the fuck am I doing? Why am I doing this for?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm never doing this again.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Ah, many times.
I've been there.
Recently.
In an ultra marathon, I've been there in a park run.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like 2.5-3 kilometers into a park run going, how am I going to do the next 2K at this pace? I can't do it. So for me, the number one thing, and we've said this before, is to smile.
Mm.
And I just tell myself, I was like, hey, I actually like running. I actually like doing this stuff. Yes, I'm in discomfort, but I enjoy this discomfort. So I just remind myself of that. I'm like, would I rather be doing this or would I rather be like, sitting somewhere eating a bit, like, you know, being fat.
Yeah.
And just remind myself of that. Then I'm like, oh, yeah, I like this stuff. And that helps.
And knowing that it won't last.
Yeah.
Like, in 2-3 Ks, it's over.
It'll be done.
It'll be done. And then you look back and you don't want to be at the end and go, oh, I could have done better.
Mm.
Because you were struggling at that point in time.
Yeah. All things will pass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Realize that you just love the pain.
Yeah.
And I think is just mix it up whether you, if you're someone who runs with your headphones in, take them out and just like interact with whoever's around you. It might just be saying, come on, to the person next to you. Even that can help yourself, or, you know, thanking a marshal or volunteer as you go past. Really helps you get yourself out of your own head.
Yeah.
Which is super useful. Seriously, if I'm hurting, I almost like try and encourage others or try and thank the volunteers even more. And that takes the focus away from myself.
Yeah.
Which is helpful.
And I find it's easier on trails because you're focused on not face planting.
Not dying.
And if you're running with someone, you just have that distraction of just random conversation about who, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just takes your mind off how you feel.
Yeah.
And gets you into a conversation and
yeah.
That just makes a world of difference.
Yeah. Or if you're in a race, just remember that you probably paid $100 to be there.
Yeah.
So like you better enjoy it.
Yeah. You don't want to waste that money.
No, you don't. When you run, like there's going to be ups and downs. So when there's ups, you got to celebrate that hard. When there's downs, just like acknowledge that it's there. It won't last forever. And it's just kind of part and parcel of the sport. So I think you can take two approaches. You can almost plan to have a bit of a down period or an off season, or you can, you know, when that time comes, when you are a bit slumpy, then just say, cool, I know it'll pass. Or just pull everything back a little
bit.
Pull it,
man, do something else.
Yeah, go to the gym and swim, mate. Go rock climbing.
Go, do something else that's active and that you enjoy.
Yeah.
Find your sort of second love.
Or just get back to the beers or something.
Yeah. Well, like in moderation.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you always expect to be up or always expect to be peaking and running, you're going to have a bad time.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen, man. I've seen it happen so much. Friends and patients.
Just wanting to be up here and you can't always be up there. And I think that's important to just acknowledge and realize and be okay with that.
100%.
Sometimes it's just shit.
Sometimes it sucks. Sick. So that's our thoughts on that. If anyone has any different thoughts, send us a message.
Yeah, or if
comment.
You've been through it and gone, oh, this really worked well for me.
Yeah, if you think of something that we didn't say, please tell us and we'll get it out there.
Yeah.
Because awesome. Everyone has done something different, right?
Yeah, and what works for me might not work for you and vice versa.
Mm. Yeah. Cool, thanks guys. Thanks for listening again. Just a little friendly reminder to go on Instagram at That's Running, because we're starting to really do a bit more stuff up there. Post some tips and tricks and videos and stuff as well, which is going to be cool.
And hopefully we can teach you a thing or two. Hopefully.
Or three or four.
Or three or four. And again, it heavily features Paddy's bottom, so I think that's important to go there.
Yeah. If you're into that, it's fine.
I know one person.
It's
not me.
It's not you.
It is you. Oh, damn it, it is me. All right, thanks for lending us your ears.
See you next time.